Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
There are seasons of our church that we have had in the history where we have had change. And it is always one of those things that's very tough. Change is a tough thing. And we always view it as preparing for change. We always try to get our hearts and minds in tune and ready for something different. Some of y'all are going, oh no, what's he getting ready to say? I'm going to go from a different angle tonight. I'm going to go at an angle of change tonight that I want to talk about, where change is welcome. It's enjoyed. It's appreciated. I don't know that if you've ever been in, and I'm sure there are people here tonight that are going through a difficult time in their life, and some may know the situation you're in, and others may not have a clue. Opposition, maybe you're facing some suffering, some setbacks that nobody knows about, some trials, some hard times, some difficult times. I wanted to call it just one word, and I couldn't come up with one word to call it. So, I mean, I'm throwing all of those things out and just saying that everybody may not know it, but something's tough going on in your life right now. Now, you may go, you know what, Pastor, really, there's not anything going on. Well, praise the Lord, hold on. Well, that's a real encouragement. We live in a fallen world, and fallen things seem to be falling on us at all times or at times. And many that are going through a tough time, I would be here to say, and I think you would agree, that it's not any fun. Maybe your thought is, at times, I just feel like God has left me. Well, let me tell you tonight, Satan never has the upper hand in the life of a Christian. Unless you allow him to have. See, God said he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And I stand on that, and I want to encourage you tonight that the power of Satan never, ever trumps the power of God. Never, never. So you're in a difficult time, and that time is not fun. It's a hard time. As you look through the Bible, you find words that you see, words like discipline. Young people are like, I don't like that word either. You see words like train, mature, grow, teach, learn. There are a lot of different words in scriptures. And our whole theme this year is that we grow stronger and stronger. Well, when you look at the word grow, I want you to know that that happens through the tough times, through the hard times, through the difficult times. When we face a tough time, we ask God, God, would you please change these circumstances? So when I started off talking about change, are you seeing where I'm talking about a change tonight that you would welcome? I would welcome that change. Boy, if I could just get this medical thing taken care of, if I get this financial crisis, if I could just get my spouse in line, if I could get my finances where they need to be. See, here's the thing. In reality, God wants to change you. And this is a tough one. But we're real quick to say, Lord, would you just change this, whatever the circumstance is, or maybe it's a person. You know, would you just change my coworker? Give me a new one or change his attitude or hers. God, would you just change my boss? They're just not thinking right about this. God, would you please just help me with my child? I mean, I'm just at my wit's end, and would you just help me figure this out? God, if you're a child, would you please change my parents' heart on this? Everybody has prayed for change. I mean, we have. We've said, God, would you just change this? Would you? But see, in reality, God's wanting to change you. Our prayer time is oftentimes centered around asking God to change our situation. But very seldom is our prayer time about, God, would you allow this situation to mature me? If you just change my boss, Lord, everything would be all right. If you just change my teenager, we could have peace in our home again. God, if you would just change my parents, just give me some new ones, please. Something. But see, our prayer is always about changing something, but very seldom it's about us. John 15:2. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will produce more fruit. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. How do you think God does that? How does God prune you? Because you're producing fruit in areas of your life. And so knowing that you're producing fruit, guess what? You're up and standing for some pruning. Oh, what does that mean? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Changed into His glorious image. Changed. Well, once again, okay, I get that. He's changed us into His glorious image and He prunes. I get both of those things. But how does He do that? How does He do that? 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. When your faith remains strong in a trial, when you're praying, God, remove this coworker because they just grind me. They rub me wrong every day. If you just remove this person or give me a new one or change their act, they just make me miserable. How do you think God, through that prayer, is going to make you more like Him? Is that something God thinks? Man, I just wish that person would leave. I just wish that person would not have anything to do. How is that prayer, God, remove this person, how is that prayer making you look more like Jesus? Woo-hoo. We know God changes people. Let me just say that. And many of us here would say, if you knew me back when, I am a changed person. Come on. Everybody here, yes, absolutely. Because of Jesus, I am a changed man. And there are times that God has changed our circumstances and our situations. I mean, we see Moses at the Red Sea. The Hebrew children are all there, and the Pharaoh's army's coming after him. And I mean, we all know the story. He's standing there, and what happens? He's like, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what's going on. Would you change my circumstance? So, I mean, Moses is what, God, and he answered what God told him to do, and then the circumstances changed. The sea parted, and the army fell into the sea after the Hebrew children walked across. Everybody knows that story. So, being that we see that, a lot of times what we do is, God, I'm Moses, and I'm at the Red Sea, and I'm needing you to part something here. Change my circumstance. God, change my boss. Change my work. Change my situations. James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. There's that word endure again. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, you'll be complete, and you'll need nothing. Well, let me just ask you this question. How do you develop endurance? Trials, frustration, finances, people. I mean, you just go down the list. There are people, there are circumstances, there are financial situations that you're going to have to endure. You made a really bad decision financially a few years ago and you're still paying for it. What I'm telling you is hold on. Endure. What this says is you're going to have to allow what you're going through to change you. and make you perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's what that scripture says. If all you do is escape your situation or your problem, you'll never become mature in Christ. Now, that's a big statement. But that's why it takes some years of life happening and a bunch of trials and situations that you've went through to bring you to a place of maturity in Christ. It takes years. And we're all still in it if you're still breathing. If all you do is escape your situation. See, if you quit, you're not going to grow stronger in that situation. If you quit, if you leave it and just transfer out of this department, you're not going to get complete in Christ. If you move or you run, you're not going to get what you could have got. See, God teach me, God mature me, God change me in the midst of this situation. Immaturity just wants out of the situation. We will never mature in life when all we see and all we identify is other people's problems. When all we do is look at everybody else as the instigator. And then we leave and we give up because there's imperfect people. Imperfect spouses, imperfect teachers, imperfect bosses, imperfect coworkers, come on, imperfect family members, imperfect children, imperfect parents. Story of a mom telling her son that she was just going to run next door, and she told her son, do not, I don't know if any of you parents have ever said that when you were going somewhere, do not, and here was her words, get into the jelly that I just made. She came back. The boy had jelly all over him, on his shirt, on his hands. She said, did I not tell you to not get into that jelly? Yes, ma'am. Haven't I told you that when Satan tempts you, you're to say, get behind me, Satan? Yeah, mom, I did, but when he got behind me, he just pushed me right into the jelly. And we can laugh at that, but that's not too far from the truth about what we all deal with. Genesis chapter 3 has the exact same story. Same story. Mom, he got behind me and he pushed me. See that, when asked why a change was made when you're talking to someone that just got a change of circumstances or situation, whatever the case, when you ask them what, no one ever says, the reason I quit my job because I was immature. I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anyone say, I quit that job because I was late every day and I couldn't get out of bed and the boss finally got tired of dealing with it and let me go. I've never heard somebody, see, when someone's in trouble at school, I started and it was all my fault. I probably wouldn't know what to say if that happened. But I've never heard that. You just don't hear that. I got fired from my job because I lost some stuff that they entrusted me with and I was lazy and I ended up costing them more money than they were able to pay me. So I'm gone. No, what they always say is what? So-and-so lied about me. I was late one, maybe twice. Yeah, but you were only there 2 days. What you hear is it's always the boss's fault, the coworker down there. Somebody lied about me. Somebody framed me. It's always the ex that's the reason for the split up in the marriage. It's always somebody else. See, they never say I was too immature to handle being married. Nobody owns it themselves. We always got to blame the other person. Kids quitting school. When asked, why'd you leave school? The fault is always the teacher, the handbook, the system. It's never, I couldn't handle it and I wasn't willing to work and I was the problem. That's never the answer. And people refuse to address themselves or their child in a bad situation. I've seen this for years. It's always someone else's fault. Your responsibility is never to change someone else. That's the Lord's. Now, you can pray for them, Lord, would you help them? But don't pray condemning them. Lord, would you just take them out, kill them, please? See, no, is it to make yourself or maybe your child successful in an environment that is not perfect? Yes, it is. Come on, it's to make us perfect in an environment that's not perfect. Trials and situations. The way Christianity works is enduring in the middle of this, and we've got to start teaching that. If you quit, you never mature. If you leave and never address the problem on how you could handle it different or what your child could have done different, then you never teach your child how to be successful in a world that's full of imperfect situations. Come on, there's a world full of imperfect situations. But we don't like the way it happens, and so we just, I'm out of here. I quit. Get my kid. I'm going to another school. You'll never, ever find a perfect situation in this world. You won't find it. As long as you move and you change them out of the circumstance, you're just hindering yourself or your child in developing a successful life. Our prayer has got to change from, God, please change my situation, to, Lord, would you help me in this situation? Just mature me, teach me, show me what I need to do. If we started praying, God, show me what my part is in causing my spouse to act the way they're acting. See, what can I do different? If we would just pray, God, show me my part in what's causing this to go on at work. See, if we just pray, God, show me what my part was in that situation on the playground. You can work your whole life on trying to change everyone else, but the fact is, you will only, always, forever, only be able to change yourself. And all you're trying to do, see, in life, this trial, this circumstance, this situation, God, show me what my part is in this scenario so I can get it fixed. That's got to be our heart. That's what, I know Josh is counseling all the time with our young people in school, and he's all the time trying to get them to see that. If we could just see, God, what is my part? What can I own? What can I do here? John 15:2, every branch that bears fruit will be pruned. And you're going to have some pruning go on. How does that happen? Let endurance be fully developed. How does that happen? How do you learn endurance? If you pray everything away in your life that's not just making you all happy and fuzzy, the thing is, it doesn't get fun, so you quit and leave. And then you don't get the endurance and you're never perfect and complete. Those things never happen for you. How will you grow and mature in your faith and get some strong faith? How will you learn wisdom if you continue to assign fault and blame instead of focusing on what needs to change in you? See, how does that happen? Yes, your teacher is imperfect. I got that. And you have adequately identified your teacher's imperfection. I got all that. Now, what is your deal in this? See, but because we're real quick to take nothing that we're going to mature in, nothing we're going to grow in. It's always going to be the coach's fault. It's always going to be the other player's fault. It's always going to be the spouse's fault. It's never going to be, what can I do different? The other kids on the playground are not perfect. And what they did and said was wrong. But you're not ever going to change them. What can you do different? See, yes, your spouse is a bonehead and made a bad decision. I get that. What are you going to do to make your situation? See, your boss is imperfect and you have nailed it on all his failures, but the fact is, he's your boss. What are you going to do scripturally? Romans 8:28. God will take what was meant for your destruction and he'll turn it around for your good. But I'm telling you, there needs to be something understood there. What was meant for your destruction, when it gets turned around for your good, is after you've endured. After you've made it through that. After you've said, okay, I get that. All things work together for my good because I've endured this. Because I prayed how I could be matured in this and how I could be in a better place. What can you learn from, what can you correct in your own life pertaining to every situation? For students that have a teacher that is not perfect, let me just tell you, and I'm not talking CMA, just CMA, I'm talking CMA, I'm talking about every school that's represented here. Let me just talk about this. Maybe your homeschool, so your mom's the teacher. Let's just talk. So you have a student or you have a teacher, you have a parent that's not perfect. Maybe your personalities clash all the time. Why don't you learn to make an A in the midst of the situation that may not be perfect? See, just learn to make an A right in the middle of all this. But I can't because of them. And until you learn to endure, it will always be because of someone. You'll never be a success in life when it's always someone else's fault. What can you do to be a success in the middle of that trial? What are you going to do? When you learn to do great in a bad situation, I'm telling you, you'll be successful in life. All your life, you'll encounter that the work world is full of idiots. So better for you right now just to work for one. Better for you to have a teacher who's one. You learn something more that way. See, you learn to endure, then you can hold a job when you get older. You're going to always, come on, every adult here knows that in work environments, you're surrounded with difficult people. You'll always have one around you that shines in being obnoxious. It's like that's their gifting. There will always be a standout in your life that I'm just in difficult personalities that you got to deal with. And you can move. And you'll just find wherever you move, your next door neighbor ends up being just like them. How do I get this? They're everywhere. You can try to pray them out, or you can say, Lord, can I mature enough to where I can show you when I talk to them? See, the question is not, God, are you going to change them to fit what I want? Are you going to ask God, Lord, did you just change them to fit what I'm looking for? No, we need to say, Lord, show me the area that I need to be changed so that I can be blessed and walk in your blessing in this situation. Boy, it's a great lesson if we could get a hold of it. If you learn how to be successful in the difficulties, you will rise to a new level. I'm telling you, you will. You'll never move from job to job, marriage to marriage, church to church, and expect to walk into a perfect situation. You won't. Now, there are times, let me just give a disclaimer here, there are times that a job needs to be changed. I get that. But it's because you've matured to another level. See, there's a time that maybe you need to go to another church because the vision's not shared. I get all that. So don't take this out in left field here. But we've got to be praying, Lord, what can I do to change me? Lord, make me like you. Growth and maturity occurs through change within ourselves, not our situations. That's when growth and maturity happens. Most of us want our situations to change so that our life will be improved. But let me just tell you, life will improve when things change in you. It just will. It just will. Because what I'm telling you is, if you'll change your attitude, if you'll change your thoughts, young person, if you'll change your thoughts, teacher, if you'll change your words, if you'll change your actions, if you'll change your thinking. See, we're talking about change tonight. If you'll make that change, you'll be happy and content and perfect and like God in an imperfect world. That's how you do it. So your level of happiness should not be dependent upon your situation. Oh, I get this. We all have bad days. Oh, it's horrible. We all have them. But that situation doesn't put a smile on my face. The Lord Jesus does. See, I'm not going to be bound by my circumstance. Life is dependent on you changing how you're going to work through this. The root of the problem is in us. It's not our circumstances. But we're trying to pray what we think is the root is a situation or a circumstance when the problem's in us. No one seems to ever see that in the last 8 marriages, you're the common denominator. I mean, no one seems to see that the last 10 jobs you've had in the past 2 years, you're the common denominator. But I just don't get. Until you make some changes, you're going to continue to live a very hard and difficult and frustrated life. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody tonight. God uses and works through our daily life, and he burns away things that don't make us shine. Malachi, let's talk about some scripture here tonight that I believe will help you. God uses and works through our daily life, and he burns away the things that don't make us shine. That's the pruning that happens. Here's how it happens. Malachi 3, verse 2. Says, for he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver burning away the dross. Now, I was reading this and I was looking up, and I spent some time on this because something that I heard this explained in, I had to verify what all this meant. I wanted to get into the scripture and really find out. And I started looking up refining silver during Malachi's time, and I looked at it in how they do it today, and very similar. Dross, the word dross here, verse 3, he'll sit like a refiner of silver burning away the dross. Dross is the stuff on metal that makes it appear tarnished or dull. It's the tarnishing or the dullness. Have you ever had silver that tarnished? Silver that tarnished. If you've ever had that, I looked up a whole lot about that, some very interesting stuff. I mean, silver that tarnishes is usually because it's not being used. So, but anyway, that's a whole other sermon. Dross is the stuff on metal that makes it appear tarnished. So a silversmith would hold the silver in the middle of a fire as he was making it, and the dross was there that was keeping it from being the clarity that it needed to be. And see, he'd hold it in the middle of the fire where it was the hottest. That's what he'd do with the silver. And that heat would burn away the dross from the silver. Pretty cool. Holds it in the heat of the fire and it'd burn away the dross from the silver. If the smith left it, though, a minute too long, the whole piece of silver would be destroyed. If he left it a minute too long, he could never turn his eyes off the process. He had to stay engaged in the process. Boy, this is just making perfect sense to me. He had to stay engaged. He had to endure. He had to be in it. That fire, we're like the silver. I mean, that fire's on us, and we're like, well, I don't like this. You had to stay engaged in the process. Proverbs 25:4, take away the dross from silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. That's what he had to do. He had to get rid of the dross so he had material for a vessel. But here's the key to this concept of Malachi. This is the cool part. As the silversmith stares at the silver in the fire, knowing that 1 minute too long, it would be destroyed, how did he know when to pull it out? Come on, you've been in this trial for a long time. You've been in this medical deal. You've been in frustration with your spouse, the coworker, the boss, the financial strain. I've been in, Pastor, you just don't know. I've been in this, and I'm telling you, it's hot, and I'm tired of it. I'm trying to endure, but it's just tough. How do you know when it's done? How did the silversmith know when the silver was done? What was he looking for? I mean, he had to stay engaged in the process. The key to taking it out at the right time was the instant the silversmith could see his image in the silver, he would remove it from the fire. God's like blazing fire, burns away the dross. Come on, there's junk in all of our life. Dross, let me give you the definition. It's called a scum formed on the surface. We all have things in the surface of our life, but God's interested in what's going on inside. And he's letting that scum melt away. You're in the heat. This is he's letting you endure this for a season, and he's just waiting until he can see his image in you. That's what he's waiting. He's waiting for you to look like him. Oh, man, how am I going to get out of this? Endure, but know this. Be looking to him. He's looking to you. He's looking to you. See, we have scum on the surface of our lives, and we may need it out. We may need a change to reflect the image of Christ, but it's not our circumstances, it's us. It's us. And we may need to mature in the midst of frustration. Church, tonight the question is, are we changing? If we're getting stronger and stronger, then here's the deal. That's going to happen through the trials, frustrations, the mess ups, the people, the things that life gives us that are imperfect. And there's a lot of imperfection in our life, and you got to get that. Come on, endure. Endure. Don't run away from this. Don't, I'm out of here. Don't. We are quick to say, I'm not dealing with that anymore. Endure and get your life reflecting Christ. Get your life reflecting Christ. Good word for anybody tonight.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.